There's cracks in the mortar where the stones have settled in. Don't a goblin borders make a devil of a din? Won't you take this cold and broken stair to this old lair?
Friends, what a pleasure it is.
As always.
Indeed, to spend this time with you. You have, through no fault of your own, much as many of our other victims,
yes.
You have become enmeshed somehow in our lair. Indeed, our old lair. This old lair, specifically. Now, last time we were at... I mean, is it our favorite bar?
For me?
I know that we love it. Is it our absolute favorite, or is it just like, does it exist in a realm beyond like preference?
I think so. Here's what happens with the Jolly Roger.
Yeah.
The Jolly Roger's on top, and then you grade everything else below it. You don't even ask the question of what's the best. It's
you know
the Jolly
it
Roger's up on top.
Yeah.
Everything else gets graded.
I wonder if it's actually a situation, like at the end of the day, I wonder if it isn't more of a situation where it's like things are graded, like it is the, like, the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then
everything
else.
That we grade everything else
exactly,
by.
Exactly. And then everything else gets sort of graded in relation to its sort of august stature.
Right. Well, and it's fascinating because, you know, we always do a sampler tray there, right? And
well, I mean, truth be told, yeah, we often do sampler trays at each venue.
Sure. But their sampler trays...
I'm giving the game away, but their tray is novel. Agreed.
Yeah. They've been doing some really fascinating beers lately where that's really not their style, right? They have this set scope that they kind of live in, but now they've been branching out and doing these fascinating beers.
I mean, this is the thing, right? I mean, just like our other stuff, like when we talk to Two Beers or New Belgium, I sort of know what's going on at those places.
Mm-hmm.
I just assume that Maritime Brewing, which is, you know, the, mm-hmm. for whom the Jolly Roger is their tap room,
yeah.
I just assume these are some coots.
Yeah.
These are just some whacked out coots, and like they want to do their own stuff.
Yeah.
And they're making these like weird ass IPAs because that's what the kids are into.
Yeah. But they're great.
But they're actually really good. And they're the only, I mean, they are one of, I mean, when I started going there, they were the only place in town you could get anything like a cask.
Right. And this is a question. Do you know how long they've been open?
No.
I want to know because in my quest to binge watch all of the Frasier episodes, they mentioned the Jolly Roger.
Are you fucking real?
Yeah. They're like, oh, you could go have a beer down at the Jolly Roger or do something else. I'm like, son of a bitch, I go there every Saturday.
Are you
I was so happy to hear that.
What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Now, the truth is, when Frasier was on...
Yeah, that was the mid-90s, right?
Indeed, but that would have been the old place.
Oh, wait. Oh, it moved.
So you never...
No,
you never,
no.
You didn't live here then?
No.
Hold on. This is not Acquisitions Intoxicated.
Yeah, I know. I love how we're doing this old...
Here. Like I said,
yeah.
this old lair. We're back on our bullshit.
Yeah.
But I actually have additional tasks...
Yes.
...to resolve vis-a-vis my vampire character for the Club PA... stream.
Yeah, well, now
exclusive to you,
mm-hmm.
That you can savor. I've got most of the work done for Mr. Jameson Keen.
I love that name.
The scion of the golden era of heist near the end of the 60s there.
Yeah.
Now, but there are a few aspects. So this sounds to me, you know, these are the sorts of things that really get emphasized on the indie side of the RPG
right.
vibe. I would say something in like a Burning Wheel.
Yes,
where
exactly.
It's really about personal motivations, but it isn't just something you bring to the table. It's written down because it has ramifications
right.
for the table.
It's going to affect how the storyteller weaves your tale.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? And that's what's real. And also how you relate to the rest of your coterie. I mean, and that's what's fascinating. You know, Vampire has been doing this well over 25 years, you know, and this has been a major piece of that puzzle. So to say they were doing this back in the 90s, that's huge. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, they're a fixture now, but yeah. There was a point where they were a...
They were breaking ground.
Well, they were an aggressor.
Yeah.
Like a sort of guerrilla force in RP. So what are the... there's three things total, right, that I need to figure out. And I mean individually. I mean, there's like three classes of things that I need to resolve for you so that you can make the best game that you can.
Yeah. First of all, I cannot talk about how excited I am over this game.
I know. You're all kinds of fucked up.
I am so jazzed. Because
you're all kinds of fucked up. But also, like, I got to tell you, like, you know, from my side, you know, for the AV Club, obviously, yeah. I run that game.
Yeah.
And I love that game, and I love every person at that table.
Yeah.
I love Lydia Piper. I am, like, a fan of Lydia Piper.
Yeah.
Like, I work with Lydia Piper at, you know, in normal day-to-day type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had a chance to, like, sit and play a game.
Oh, really? With Lydia?
No, because our relationship, it's basically we're like, the place where we overlap is that at some level we're true believers.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in something, and we think that Penny Arcade is a way to make those things real.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, she and I have never had a chance to sit down and play a game together. Like, I can't wait to see what comes out. And so she and I actually had a chance to talk a little bit about
did she tell you about her character?
And she is not a lot, but she basically what we did was we talked about Silence of the Lambs
mm-hmm.
specifically. So she had seen, obviously many people have seen the film. It's mm-hmm. an incredible film, but it is I'd actually read the book already. It is one of the most robust, most reverent conversions of a book to the screen, even things that I would say would be very difficult. Like if I read it in a book, I'd be like, I have no idea how you would film this particular scene because it's about misdirection at some mm-hmm. level. Like, I don't think that this might not be filmable. No, a clever person could find some way to get the same feeling. No, they filmed this set of written passages in such a way that it perfectly mirrored the book. And so, but she'd never read the book. And it's like, if you were a fan of this film, you got to get on this fucking book.
Yeah.
But of course, that's the classic, you know, Jerry position.
Right. But she also, I mean, for to see Lydia, you know, and talking with her about her character, this Malkavian psychiatrist who...
Legitimately evil.
Yeah. And some of the backstory that you won't know unless she actually tells it to you.
Right.
Like there is something inside of your coterie right now that you have no idea about that only she knows because of her backstory.
Exactly. Which is ballin'.
Which is going to be so great to see you guys play this stuff out.
Exactly. And so I think that might be what makes, you know, this episode of this old lair interesting for the true enthusiast.
Yeah.
Because it really is going to be some like tugging back the edge of the curtain on, you know, some aspects of this character.
Right.
So you'll have this extra bonus information.
Yeah,
and then
knowing.
You will know that, you know, even if it doesn't come out of the table, like, you'll have a perspective on that table based on this.
Right.
So what do I need to hook up here?
So let's first talk about your convictions and your touchstones.
Okay, now, it has been fucking hella years, as they say, since I've actually played... Vampire. I have played it, but like I said, my experience is mostly with Wraith and Mage.
So with touchstones and convictions, you as a vampire have certain... You still cling on to your humanity. That's the only thing that doesn't get you... That keeps you from being swallowed by this monstrous beast inside of you.
Like, basically just like the ability
to just... It's the only thing that saves you from being a ravenous monster that only cares about feeding.
Well, because I have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the rest of the character sheet, it would be trivial for me to sate this hunger.
Mm-hmm. In any way.
At any time.
Yeah.
Right?
But you have some of these convictions that are still left over from your mortal self.
Gotcha.
And what convictions are in this game, you pick 1 to 3, as many as you want in that context, 1 up to 3. But your touchstones are the humans in your life that are that influence.
I still know people?
Yeah. You still have humans that have affected you. And they're still alive, so it could still be from when you were bitten.
Oh, so they may be very old.
They could be very old, or you could have let them know you are a human and they're very young, or they're somewhat young or middle-aged, and it almost is jeopardizing them. It's your way of...
Keeping your hand in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could have also jeopardized the masquerade by doing so.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Did you do that or not? But your touchstones are what make you have these convictions. They're the reason you have
this conviction. Oh, they're connected. Okay, so we should do the touchstones first.
Yeah. Or your convictions first. I would do your convictions first. Like, I'm never going to be a snitch. Why? Because person X did this, and that influenced me in this way. So you want to think about Jameson Keene and what are his convictions? What's his background? What does he stand by or stand for?
Interesting. Okay. Well, yeah. So it's hard to say which one of those you should do first. I mean, they're obviously related, mm-hmm. but it's hard to say which one of these.
Yeah, or, like, if you want to build your human relations out and figure out why they are, how they influenced you, you can go that route as well.
Gotcha.
It's whatever's easier for you. You know, do you figure out your convictions first, what your character stands for, and then shape a story around that?
And there's basically, I can have up to three on each side?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well,
because one will affect the other.
Well, here, then let's go right for the mortals that I still mm-hmm. know mm-hmm. that are a part of my life, right? So in a lot of heisty type shows, like think about, any of them really, but like, for instance, The Town, mm-hmm. you have like the florist, mm-hmm. you have that sort of person who delivers the jobs. Mm-hmm. I think that
you're Mr. Johnson, right?
I think that there are people for whom he is that.
How so?
Well, I think that he exists in a context like the capacities that Jameson Keene has in a vampiric sense, in terms of the ability to more or less be invisible. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very good at stealing things.
Yeah.
Right? But I was good at it even before I had
right.
that. Right?
Right. And that was so, why you were embraced, right?
Exactly. Like, in a strange way, like, that was the ultimate... That was my big, you know, they're always looking for that big score.
Right,
it's
right,
like
right.
Ultimately that was the big score.
You didn't even know it.
Immortality,
yeah.
Right? So I think that I maintain a team.
A human team?
That.
That's fantastic.
I think that they may not be a big part of the game.
No.
Generally.
Yep.
But I think that I maintain a team.
Uh-huh.
Independent. Of anything I get up to with my coterie.
Yep.
Because there's going to be information that comes through. There's going to be issues that we need to resolve, right? There's going to be jobs that we get that my skills are apt for. But my connections mm-hmm. go back at this point. So is the modern continuity really in like the current year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So my connections when it comes to, you know, valuable pieces of art, security contacts, things mm-hmm. like this, they go back 50, 60 fucking years.
Right, so are they...
It would
are
be
they the,
insane
yeah.
not to maintain that.
Right, and are these connections now higher ups in their respective organizations? Because they're not young bucks anymore,
no,
right?
No, I think that I have taken the time to build a team
you're like,
of young bucks.
This is like Charlie's Angels, right?
Yes.
Like you're just coming in over the comm system.
It's that tier. Because they can't look at me.
Right.
I can't have a relationship with them where they can fucking see me.
Yeah, you're Mr. X that just literally sends in a call.
I connect them. I give them the jobs. I give them the expertise they need. The connections that they need
okay.
to execute these tasks.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, ultimately the plan might be to embrace this team.
Yep. And how many members are on that team? That
three.
You think of three? That's amazing.
Right? So basically there's like a side, I have a side
yeah.
game that I'm playing alongside the rest of this. There might be things that I need
uh-huh.
that I send them on.
Okay.
Because I can never be seen to be connected to any of this.
No.
Right?
Right.
And I don't think any of my... I don't think my coterie knows.
You don't tell them?
Mm-mm. Because I don't want them to think... Jameson Keene doesn't his approach to this sort of thing is that he doesn't want them to think that he has these like pets. He doesn't want them. He doesn't want his team to be thought of in that way.
Right.
And he doesn't want them to think of themselves in that
way.
He
almost has a higher respect for them than
the honor among thieves.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It's like obviously there's the masquerade and there's this sort of predatory hunger that has to sort of be recognized, right? But that's not what this is about. Like this relationship is about an art form at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, it's fantastic. No, I think that's absolutely perfect. Now, one, do you want to name these three?
Oh, I have to. We have to name them, right? And so this, so there's going to be a, there has to be a...
And their job, or what they specialize in.
Oh, it has to be end-to-end, right? So there has to be sort of a face, like a manipulator type character. There has to be someone who specializes in the tech aspects, and there has to be somebody who specializes just in the purely physical aspects.
Excellent. And what do you think their names would be?
So the face also doubles as a martial component.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't have that, because you can't have that face that gets into trouble and then can't handle it.
Right.
That has to be somebody who can manage both sides of that.
Right. He has to be able to give, you know, put his money where his mouth is.
Right. So I think that that is actually, you get hooked on names.
I know.
Right?
It's tough, right?
No, you're good at it.
You're really good at it.
That's one of my favorite parts of this.
But he's brutish, but.
Oh, no. Dude, no. It's even worse than this. One of them, the face that is also the bruiser, is related to him, but it's like a great granddaughter.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So that's like it's gonna be Charlotte Keen.
Okay. I love that. Related to
so her deal is that she can get in anywhere because she knows, you know, her deal is that she is aware of it's like Ronya, right? It's like my daughter Ronya. It's like hyper social awareness. So she can manipulate social space with ease.
Yeah.
So she always seems to, she always knows how to present the idea that she is where, that she belongs where she is.
Okay.
Right?
So would she be your great granddaughter? Great.
Let's see. Yeah.
Or no, granddaughter?
No, great granddaughter.
Great granddaughter or great grandniece?
Yeah, there we go.
I mean, it's your call.
Grandniece. No. Jameson Keen was not. I think it's parallel.
Okay.
I think it has to be just like
maybe
someone else
sister,
in his family.
Your sister's or your brother's child?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And you still keep tabs on her, which is really fun.
Exactly.
I mean, because that's what clings you to humanity.
It's even worse. Yeah, exactly.
But you're utilizing her too, right?
Yeah. That's what gives it that vampire edge, right? So, yeah. So Charlotte Keen, she's sort of like the face, but like super crafty, but also... gruesome up close, ruthless.
Who's your tech?
Exactly. So the tech aspect of this, because that's going to be where James, like he's not in that.
No.
You know, it's so funny. Have you ever read the book Flawless?
No, I have not, but it's on the list.
Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, man. I used to have a Nook, like Barnes & Noble had like their Kindle competitor.
Oh, yeah.
And the coolest part about the Nook was that there was a free book like every week.
Oh, yeah.
And Flawless was one of the books that was on there for free. I have never been so fucking enraptured.
Really?
It's basically like a documentary that you can read. And the way that they defeated, the way that they were able to heist these goddamn jewels was so low tech.
That's fantastic. They actually just went the opposite direction of what should have
it
happened.
It was so
right?
low tech. Like a big part of it was they had this very specific sort of tool that they could attach, as I recall, to a power drill. And they just used it to pop safety, like lockbox after lockbox. They just went like pop, pop, pop.
But what
like
a three fun or
four
concept.
Three or four seconds per,
yeah.
right? And so, but so for Jameson, the technical aspects of this art, he can't get his head, he's old school.
It's gone by the wayside, right? His knowledge.
Well, but again, like in Flawless, that proves that there is a place for that person as well. But there's going to be aspects of the modern heist that he can't do. and so this is going to be...
I have to open my doc right now so I can add this stuff exactly. in to screw you.
So let's give Kiko some props.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's say that this is, let's say it's Francisco.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Francisco, what would be a cool one there at the back? Do I want to just go whole hog?
And just, you could.
And just do it? Yeah, let's just have him, Francisco Villaseñor. That'll be my tech, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about someone for whom the technical aspects of this in terms of like the digital security,
yep,
the fingerprint scanners, like all the modern stuff that he would never admit that.
Right.
But that's what's going on.
But he knows where he knows his not flaw. Yeah,
exactly.
But
he knows his limitations.
Yeah, limitations, that's it.
Right? And it's not personal. Mm. He knows what the limitations are.
Yeah. I can hire out.
Exactly.
I can subcontract.
So that will be my that will be my tech.
Okay. And who's your physical brute?
Exactly. So the physical brute, and then also with some capacity to do the actual cracking.
Is Dave Allen?
No, I can't just have everybody in the office being the game. This person is going to be. Damn it, I had a cool name already, but then I started thinking about this. I started thinking about Charlotte, and I lost it.
Yeah. That character is going to be...
It's just such a fucking great... Charlotte is such a killer name. Let's see. Peter is good.
Peter?
Yeah, Peter. But do the German spelling.
Petra?
No, a P-I-E-T-E-R.
Yeah. It's T-R-E, or no?
Mm-mm.
P-I-E?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do Blanc.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Blanc a dash white. For the podcast audience, I was nodding very furiously. So that's his deal. Yes, he can crack the physical aspects, and he can also take. He is willing to take instruction.
Yep.
From the other people, but he has. It's very rote, though. Like, he's not creative about it.
Mm-hmm.
He is just a completely by the numbers thief.
Right. So here's what's very interesting now. So you could use when you take your touchstone, they relate and tell stories as to why your convictions are the way they are.
Exactly.
So you can do this in one of two ways.
So basically Jameson is obsessed with these mortals.
Right. So are your convictions, do you have three convictions, one for each one of these?
I think.
Or is your whole group just one conviction?
No, I think he's very regimented.
Okay. So what does Charlotte represent to you? What has she done in her past for you or to you or around you?
It's basically that.
Or her familial relationship.
No, family is the highest law.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's going to extend, in my case, that will extend to my coterie, right?
Yep.
And when it comes to Francisco, I think if it's connected to the idea, I really like what you were saying about, okay, this person doesn't know. Most people don't have that sense,
right?
And it's okay. It is okay not to know. Like that is the best argument
mm-hmm.
for putting yourself out there, exposing yourself to other people, is the capacity, the ability to learn, and to benefit, others,
right?
Right. So how can we boil that concept down for Francisco?
Was there some way that he showed you this concept, that he proved to you that you don't know everything?
I'm just wondering what that means, like in this. In the conviction aspect.
Right. Maybe.
So give me some example convictions elsewhere in the team so that I know what the format is, right?
Let's look them up.
I guess you got them.
Yeah. Smoke them if you got them.
Oh, do you have like a G-Doc?
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Very flavorful. I remember when I had that tasty G-Doc for the
very
first episode of the C-Team. I know.
It was so good.
Oh, they were babies.
Yep. So with Patrick's, one of his is never snitch, and he was affected by a bartender named Raymond. And this bartender wouldn't let him, when somebody tried to find dog food.
Oh, yes.
And find out where, the bartender would never give dog food up. And the bartender knows dog food's story.
Oh, I see. So these are like personal creeds, like laws to live by. Mm-hmm.
So like Charlotte, her law is family being exactly. The highest. So how does...
So with Francisco...
Francisco...
I think it is basically like, let other people do what you can't.
Right.
But for me, that means exposing other people to harm. So I have a complicated mesh where obviously the team, the family, these are the most important things. But the tension is there between the fact that ultimately I'm very self-serving.
Right. And with Peter...
is that you have to pass your skills on.
Oh, how so? Okay, that's really interesting.
Is that you have to mentor.
Okay. So how did Peter show you that?
I think that Peter is... Well, no, Peter showed me that because...
How did that finally click for you because of Peter?
It's something that Peter is like his personal project.
Oh, interesting. Right? Okay.
Charlotte can handle herself. Yeah. She's a keen... You know what I mean? She's a keen.
That's fantastic.
And so then as we're going through, I'll just try to live up to these.
Yeah. Well, and that's the point of the game. That's the point of this type of relationship.
And they're a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it's like, you know, we're only supposed to live so long.
Right.
Like eventually you're going to be a complete.
You're going to be wrecked.
You're going to be like a rubber band ball of contradictions after 100 years.
Yeah. And I mean, think about when these three pass away, be it through their work or just long life. Most likely through what you're having them do.
Yeah.
But how does that affect you in the long run, right?
Yeah.
Were you able to accomplish with right. Peter what
does
you
it invert? Exactly. Does it actually, when things like that happen, does it invert these laws?
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right.
How does that affect you? And this is why these kind of tenets affect the game so much and why they're so important to kind of put down, because it gives the storyteller. I could write six episodes with just these three characters.
Just fucking with those.
Yeah, with those ideas.
Yeah.
Like those each one chords. Of those is a whole episode.
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah, so that's what's really, really fun about that.
Yeah, that's going to be dope, man. Well, listen, I mean, you know.
Was that a half an hour?
It was half a fucking hour, man.
Oh my God.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
We RPGs found, are fun.
We found what we were born to do.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
That's amazing. God. I'm so excited for people to...
Clipier, what a pleasure. Thanks for rolling through. This has been This Old Lair. We will see you next time. And obviously, if you haven't had a chance to check out the AV Club,
Definitely
take full advantage of it if you can. There's two episodes. We call them movies, of course. And now we're just getting started with our vampire stuff. Come take full advantage of it if you can. We'll see you around.